Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. And this is the day that Kumbaya officially begins at the White House. Jim, initially, the Republicans excoriated for slightly postponing this meeting with the president. Now that the Republicans have, quote unquote, shared responsibility to lead the nation. But just a day before this gathering at the White House, the president making a statement that made a lot of Republicans happy, although they think it's just a drop in the bucket when it comes to fiscal discipline. Here's the president on Monday talking about a two-year freeze for civilian federal employees.
And today I'm proposing a two-year pay freeze for all civilian federal workers. This would save $2 billion over the rest of this fiscal year and $28 billion in cumulative savings over the next 5 years.
As you pointed out today in the Jolt, Jim, it's kind of a drop in the bucket, but a lot of people think it's heading in the right direction.
Yeah, I feel like with this president, we really shouldn't look any gift horses in the mouth or any other place. Anytime an Obama is willing to irk a federal workers union, I suppose we should be have a momentary elation. Having said that, this is something he's proposing, not enacting. And I remember he proposed a whopping $100 million in spending cuts that ended up going nowhere because the Democrats in Congress were not even willing to accede to that even modest cut back about a year and a half ago. So whether this actually comes to fruition remains to be seen. And the other thing is, I think if you asked every single self-described fiscal conservative how irked they are by the annual cost of living adjustment or these small 1% raises in federal workers' salaries, I'm going to guess that's going to be fairly low on the list of points of contention. I mean, the real irking points are runaway entitlement programs and Obamacare and a stimulus that didn't stimulate and projects we don't need and mohair subsidies and tax loopholes that are written in for particular favored industries and subsidies to, all this stuff. The big ticket items are what really seem to irk the fiscal conservatives. I got to tell you this, not only is this a drop in the bucket in terms of overall deficit reduction, I'm kind of meh on the actual sense of a commitment of limited government. And the other thing which kind of has, this nagging doubt at me is that, Republicans proposed this, was it 8 months ago, 7 months ago? Then at that point, it was a terrible, horrific, barbarian idea. And now it's perfectly normal.
Exactly right.
I mean, there's a part of it. I was going to say I want to say the president grovel on this, but just kind of admit, hey, you know what? When we said this was a terrible idea 8 months ago, we were wrong. This is a perfectly sensible suggestion, and now we're adopting it. Perhaps I'd like to see a little more contrition from those who were so quick to say that this was, something only miserly Scrooges do to those hardworking federal workers.
So I assume that you expect the president and leaders of both parties to emerge from the meeting today having solved all of their differences on tax cuts, fiscal policy, social policy, and national security policy heading into the new Congress.
I guess the first commitment to their fiscal conservatism is that they aren't actually catering it with Slurpees, which I think is a good sign. The $2 or $3 per head they would have required on that. I'm glad that they're having this meeting, and I think if everybody will come out and hopefully be pleasant to each other, but you've got two very different viewpoints on how government should work and what government should pay for.
Exactly, and that's the point the president tried to make on Monday as he announced this freeze for civilian federal workers, because he says this is a step, and he's learned from the election. He's learned that Americans want progress. They want to see results. What they don't want, he says, is for any side to be right or wrong.
Because if there's anything the American people said this month, it's that they want their leaders to have one single focus, making sure their work is rewarded so that the American dream remains within their reach. It would be unwise to assume they prefer one way of thinking over another. That wasn't the lesson that I took when I entered into office, and it's not the lesson today.
Well, I think there was one line of thinking that was pretty roundly rejected in November, and that's what we were just talking about, massive deficit spending.
Naturally, Obama's going to say that, the American people don't want their work to not be rewarded. That's why we have to raise taxes and take money away from them.
Right.
That's the Obama thinking there. The other thing is, I'm going to turn into Jonah Goldberg here for a second, because you'll notice Obama likes to do this, that, the other guys are ideological. He's just pursuing things out of obvious empirical evidence and the nobility of his heart and all that is right and true. But ideology, whenever it comes in, ideology occurs from everybody to the right of him and people to the left of him. But he's usually kind of nebulous on these, anarcho-statist, you know, lunatics that are these straw men that always exist on the other side of him.
I think that's a good point that you made a moment ago, Jim, because if the president can, on the one hand, poo-poo, like you said, those on the anarchist fringe of the left, and then on the other side kind of equate them with the mainstream conservative thought, well, then he probably does wind up in the middle in his own mind, and that's the kind of spin that he's probably going to have to put out there for the 2012 re-election effort.
The problem is the middle of his own mind always seems to be pretty far to the left of a lot of us.
Right.
But they're just saying that the point about his sense of ideology. If you read lefty blogs, you see a lot of talk about the altar of a balanced budget. Apparently, it's like this the cult scene from Indiana Jones, the Temple of Doom, where we're worshiping some sort of bizarre balanced budget god and ripping people's hearts out of it. This is not some crazed ideology of saying, hey, you really shouldn't be spending gobs and gobs more money than you have. You know, it applies to people, it applies to families, it applies to businesses. And while most governments can function with a deficit as long as it's not too large a chunk out of GDP, you look at Europe, you look at, you know, examples of all around the globe, it's never healthy to be spending way more than you can afford. Sooner or later, it catches up with you, and the consequences are never pretty. So the idea that there's this lunatic idea of needing to reduce spending and needing to narrow this deficit, I think it just kind of tells these people that they can't get their minds around what is a very basic common sense concern of millions upon millions of ordinary American households.
Well, two martinis down, one to go, and it's always the bizarre one that we close on. And Jim, it's a pretty active lame duck session, more active than most. You've got on the Senate side, you've got this food bill that they debated Monday night. They've got the START treaty, obviously the Bush tax cuts, possible.
They finally saved Americans from the scourge of an earmark ban, you know, that menace that was keeping us all awake at nights.
That's exactly right. So with all of those issues and many more on the plate in the U.S. Senate, did Harry Reid talk about nuclear disarmament with Russia? Did he talk about don't ask, don't tell? Did he talk about the economic condition of America? Not exactly.
Boise State came in ranked third in the country and was on track for its third undefeated season in 5 years. It had a shot at the national championship. But thanks to the University of Nevada, Wolfpack, and its brilliant head coach, Chris Ault, Boise State is no longer in the running. And now when you talk about the top upsets in college football over time, all time, you have to talk about what happened in Reno, Nevada, Friday night.
Nevada ranked 14th in the country, so I'm not sure that qualifies as the greatest upset of all time. And he made it sound like Boise State was a threat to national security by saying, thanks to Nevada, this threat has now been avoided for another year and the BCS can breathe easy.
My first thought is, well done, Nevada. Well done. I hope you're proud of yourself. You know, remember, if you'd elected Sharon Angle, you would have elected a senator who just blurted out the first thing that came into her mind and would ramble on about random topics. And boy, thank good we avoided that scenario, huh? Now, having said that, you know, I guess you could say I have a bit of a soft spot in my heart for Boise State. I know a couple of key Jets players came from there, so I'm willing to cut them some slack because I know they're not used to playing on a green field.
Right.
I'm sure they step on, they see the grass, like, whoa, what is this? I'm, you know, they get vertigo or something. Every single Boise State game, every year, whenever I turn on my television and see it, I feel like my television is broken and I need to adjust the color settings. I just cannot get used to Smurf turf or whatever it is they're calling it out there.
Absolutely right. And when wear those blue jerseys, it's pretty hard to spot them. I think that's why they win most of their home games, because by the time you figure
out, it's camouflage. They're just kind of blending in, and this, you know,
exactly,
you see the opposing defenders just stumbling around in a needing to be treated for color blindness after the game.
Absolutely. And one final note before we leave you today, if you think Jim Garrity's in a good mood, there's a good reason. If you saw the story today, Holland America Line has figured out who is responsible for dropping anchor on one of its cruises in the midst of the ship moving, and Jim has been officially cleared. He was not responsible for that out on the West Coast. So, Jim, I'm sure you're breathing a sigh of relief there.
Glad to hear that. I'm trying to figure out how they did that. Maybe the button was like right next to the elevator or something. You know, it's up, down, and drop anchor right next to each other.
Exactly.
Bizarre. Right. You know, I'd like to know which engineer designed it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, glad that didn't happen to you guys. I'm sure that wouldn't have been too much fun. But we will talk again on Wednesday, my friend. Take care.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See you.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Join us Wednesday for the 3 Martini Lunch.